In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take the insert. We chant the introit, the insert for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost.
How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue by chanting Psalm 32, responsibly whole verse by whole verse through verse 7. Turn to the front of your hymnal.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Surround me with shouts of deliverance. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue by singing the Alleluia in verse. Please rise.
According to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptations come. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue by singing hymn 613. You may be seated.
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our Lord Jesus Christ answers this question. Where is Jesus? Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. But the world, especially unbelievers, asks, where is Jesus? I don't see Jesus. I'm confused. Does anyone know where Jesus is? You say I should believe in him. I can't see him. Unbelief mocks and derides the idea that Jesus is in our midst because people with their eyes can't see him, so they don't believe in him. Where is Jesus? Well, Jesus today will answer that question. Jesus comes wherever two or three are gathered around his word and prayer. Where the gospel is preached and people are taught the word of God, when people are baptized and they hear absolution and they come here to receive Holy Communion, he is indicating wherever two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of us. We can't see him yet, but the one who is ascended to the right hand of God fills the entire universe with his presence and is here with us in word and sacrament. Jesus wants us to know how he is in our midst. This is a long text, and so we're going to look at the five pictures in this text. But I begin by saying, it's not very often in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says, truly I say to you, or truly, truly I say to you. When Jesus says that, truly I say to you, we have to perk up our ears. We have to listen. We have to pay attention. We have to give heed, we have to stop what we are doing and give Jesus our undivided attention. And that's what we do. Jesus says that where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of them. And so now he's going to give us a picture. What does it look like in the church when Jesus is in the midst of us? And there are five pictures Jesus gives in this text. So let us begin. What does it look like when Jesus is in the midst of us? What does it look like to be a disciple in the church? First picture, being humble is the way to be great. The disciples were arguing among themselves. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You can just see Peter telling John he's the greatest, John telling James he's the greatest, and they're arguing. So Jesus shocks them all. He takes a little child, a boy or a girl, he puts them right in the middle of the apostles. What a beautiful picture. You have all the apostles in a circle, and there's a little child in the middle of them. Jesus points to the child and says, unless you turn, that is from your foolish pride, and become like this little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is exactly the opposite of what the world teaches. The world teaches that you get everybody to listen to you and obey you, and that will make you great. Jesus flips everything that the world says and says, no. You want to be great? That's wonderful. But that means you must be the servant of others. You must be humble, like this little child who's here in your midst. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in every way. In his incarnation, he humbled himself and came from the right hand of God and was born in a little town called Bethlehem. He humbled himself to walk on this earth with sandals on his feet. He needed to eat and to drink and to get a good night's rest. He humbled himself and became true man. He humbled himself by going from town to town, village to village, teaching men, women, and children the word of God. He healed people in love for them. And his ultimate humility came in his suffering. Pontius Pilate turns him over to the soldiers. Can you think of anything more humiliating than being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the soldiers spit in your face and crown you with thorns and hit you with a stick
and mock you, he knows what it means to be humble. And then, of course, they nailed him to the cross, even though he was holy. He, the innocent one, died for us guilty ones. They put nails in his hands and feet and a spear in his side. Jesus knows humility. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him above all names given among men. And in his resurrection and ascension, and as we await him coming in glory, through that humility, he finished the work of our redemption and now is glorified at the right hand of God. But among us, what is it like when Jesus is in our midst? What does it look like when Christians are together? Being humble. That's the way to be great, the servant of others. Second picture Jesus gives. If we want to be the people of God, what does it look like that Jesus is in our midst? We receive the children in his name. That's the second picture. Jesus continues, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now, in Jesus' name means in faith in his name, in whom we've been baptized in the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because we are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church, and because he desires to bring all people into the kingdom, he indicates that he wants us to receive children in his name, to bring the children into the kingdom of God. We bring them to baptism. Then we teach them the word of God at home and here at the church. Whoever, however, causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, he said, it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Beautiful to bring children to Jesus, but the people, the wicked, evil people who drive the children away from Jesus, he's saying, hell is coming for you. It would be better for you if they took a great big stone millstone that weighed hundreds of pounds with the hole in the middle of it for grinding grain, and they tie it around your neck and throw you in the water and you sink to the very bottom and you drown. That would be better for you than what is coming, Jesus is warning. This is how serious he teaches the importance of teaching the children and never, ever leading a child, not only a young child, but someone who is young in the faith as a child, away from Jesus. And then he says something marvelous. Don't despise one of these little ones. I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of the Father who is in heaven. This is a beautiful mystery, that the young ones, whether they be the young children or young in the faith, that angels always behold the face of the Father. The Lord is being sure that they are taken care of. What a beautiful promise and a wondrous mystery this is. We receive children in Jesus' name because Jesus, he also became a child. Jesus was a baby for 9 months in the womb of Mary. Jesus was born as a child and grew up in Nazareth and learned how to be a carpenter. He had on his hands calluses from using the tools. He became a child as well. At 12 years old, he came to his father's house in the temple. Jesus always beholds the face of the Father in heaven. So if we're going to be what the church is called to be, with Jesus in our midst, first of all, we are humble to be great, and secondly, we receive the children in his name. The third picture is cutting away all temptations, doing spiritual surgery on your soul. If Jesus is in our midst, what does this look like? Temptations to sin are going to come, Jesus says. The devil, the world, and the sinful flesh that we all have besieges us every day, all day, 24/7, tempting us. It's necessary for the testing of all of mankind that we experience this. But woe to the one through whom temptation comes. Woe to the one who deceives people into temptations to sin. Judgment Day is indeed coming. But meanwhile, we are called to every day do spiritual surgery on our souls. sin that we have comes from the original sin in our heart. But this gets exhibited by the things we do with our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hands and our feet. So the spiritual surgery Jesus talks about when he says, if your hand, foot, and eye cause you to sin, cut it off, tear it out, throw it away. It is better to enter into life with Christ in heaven, though you might be crippled and lame and blind, than to be thrown into the fire of hell with both hands, both feet, and both eyes. What Jesus is saying is that the spiritual life of a Christian is a battle. As a baptized Christian, every single day, you have to do spiritual surgery on your soul. Drown the old Adam and let the new man come forth to live in righteousness before God forever. This is a battle. It's not easy, but it's the stuff of what it means that Jesus is in our midst and we do this spiritual surgery every day. Of course, Jesus did this for us originally. When he is tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness and ate nothing, he overcame and cut out the temptations of his own flesh and the world and the devil by perfectly defeating the devil and all of his temptations. Because though he is like us in all ways, yet he is without sin. And Christ has gone before us and cut away the temptations as the second Adam. So if we're going to be the church and Jesus is among us, to be great is to be humble, to receive the children in his name, to do spiritual surgery on our soul. And the fourth picture, rejoicing in finding lost sheep. Jesus now continues his discourse. The Son of Man came to save the lost, that is, as a good shepherd. The Son of Man came to save those who are lost. All of us in our sin were lost, but have been found in Christ. We are the sheep who went astray, and the Good Shepherd has found us. Jesus uses an ordinary picture that everyone would understand. A man, a shepherd, had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe in the mountain. He left them with the hired hand. But the one went astray, and he searched and searched till he found it, and then he rejoiced over the one even more than over the 99. The Bible says even the angels in heaven rejoice. We are that lost lamb. We are the ones that Jesus has found. We are the ones who've gone astray, and Jesus has searched and found us. The Good Shepherd found us, his sheep. And the way Jesus did this was through redeeming us by his blood shed for us. The shepherd became one of the sheep and became the Lamb of God who sacrificed his own blood for our salvation. The priest became the sacrifice and offered himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Redeemed in the Bible means purchased back from sin, death, and hell by the blood of Christ, not with gold and silver. And so now we are purchased by him for life, forgiveness, eternity with God. Praise be to the Lord that what we're about as the church, when Jesus is in our midst, we rejoice in seeking and finding lost sheep. So indeed, Jesus is in our midst. The way to be great is to be humble. We receive children in his name. We do spiritual surgery on our souls. We rejoiced in finding the lost sheep. And lastly, we deal with sin through law and gospel. And this is the fifth picture Jesus gives. And here's the last picture. If your brother sins against you, your brother is going to sin against you, and has. And you have sinned against others. What does it look like in the church with Jesus in our midst when sin happens? Jesus explains. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother, he repents, you forgive him, it's done. If he will not listen, Jesus says, take one or two others so every charge can be established by two or three witnesses. If he listens to the three of you, you've gained your brother. He repents. He's forgiven. All is well. But if he will not listen to the three of you, tell it to the church, that is the congregation, the parish, the gathered assembly of the believers. If he listens to them, again, you've gained your brother. You have won him back. Three opportunities for a person to repent and to be forgiven. However, if he will not listen even to the church, Jesus says, let him be to you like a Gentile and a tax collector. What this means is that this person is removed from the Christian church, sometimes called excommunication. The reason this person finally has to be removed from the church is not because they're a sinner. All of us are sinners. This person's no longer a Christian. They don't believe. They're not repenting. They have no faith. They are removed because they're not a Christian anymore. And now we have to witness to them to bring them back into the fold. These steps, which are in all church constitutions, including our constitution, are truly the way that Jesus works in our midst. Because Jesus concludes when he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, if you bind someone's sins to them, they are bound. Which means that people will not repent. They're not forgiven. Their sins are stuck to them. But if they repent, whosoever sins you loose, you release them from those sins, they are loosed through repentance and forgiveness. This is called the office of the keys. 2 weeks ago, Jesus talked about these keys in relation to Peter. Here he's talking about the keys given to the whole Christian church. As we read in the Catechism, what is the office of the keys? It is that peculiar power which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of the penitent sinners, but to retain the sins of the impenitent, as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? Thus writes the holy evangelist John, chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is truly among us. Let us rejoice that as we are gathered together as the body of Christ with Jesus in our midst, we can be great by being humble. We can receive the children in his name. We will do spiritual surgery on our souls each day. We will rejoice in the finding of lost sheep. And we will deal with sin as Jesus has called us to through law and gospel. And we will rejoice before all the world because we can say to the question, where is Jesus? He is right here. He is right here in this place and in this time through his word and sacrament. We know the answer. Jesus is here among us now through word and prayer. Jesus is here right now with you and me and forever. Praise be to Jesus for his presence among us. God grant this for his sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The service continues on page 158. Turn to page 158. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O God, you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Grant us true humility after the likeness of your Son, that we may never be arrogant and prideful, but in lowliness be made partakers of the gifts of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in whose keeping we entrust our loved ones, help us to look to you in the time of sorrow, remembering the cloud of witnesses who've gone before us. Comfort the Kramer family at the death of Valerie Kramer, now that she has been received into the joys and now rests in your presence in heaven. Comfort the family with the sure and blessed hope of a reunion with their loved one through Jesus Christ, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we ask that you restore the health of these your servants, Kermit and Linda Fillmore Seltzer, Aaron and Catherine Pomerantz and Joe Dawson, Lorraine Trinka, Geraldine Servinsky, Candy Darmody and Steve Favors, Grace Raleigh, and Ellen Lighton. Lord, in your mercy. Because of your great love revealed in Christ, you called us to the household of faith. Bless our church, Early Child Care Center, Campus Ministry, ESL, Sunday School, Bible Classes, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and all the boards and councils of this church. You've chosen us to be your dear children, adopted us as your children in the Holy Church. Pour out your blessing as we carry out your great commission. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you bring this epidemic to an end and grant healing and strength to people all around the world. Be with the people recovering from the hurricane last week, afflicted and distressed in many ways. May Christian people give courage and hope to those who are in need as we bring all these needs before you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country. Courtney Tate, Alex Laffin, Emily Shelton, Danny Green, Charles Gaither, Kevin Stevenson, Mike Gobble, Ricardo Potanga, and Doug Jupe. Lord, in your mercy. In holy baptism, you've called us to be your own possession. This week, especially bless Dennis Gorman III, Glenn Repke, Tabitha Bachman, and all. Grant us faithfulness and gentleness to remember our baptisms as well. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, that you have redeemed us from the old life of sin, that we understand what marriage is as a vocation and calling. This week, bless Adam and Jana Harper, Richard and Annette Geisler, Dale and Brenda Hartman, and all who celebrate their wedding anniversaries, to live in righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for the mission work in the Lutheran Church in Taiwan and throughout Asia. Bless Pastor Charles and his wife Cheryl Ferry, as they are responsible for teaching the personnel and guiding them, and strengthening them through pastoral education, translation, and mercy projects. Guide their word and sacrament ministry. They can pastorally care for those who live in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As the organist plays the voluntary, please fill out the ritual friendship sheets and place it in the basket as you leave, and your offerings at the door. You may be seated for the voluntary. on page 159. We stand to sing the offertory.
In my blood,
which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
continue page 164 of the canticle Thank the Lord. We stand to sing. Strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.